The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I want to play a little clip for you. For people who haven't heard it, this is Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel is, maybe I should say was now, a late night TV talk show host in the States. And in the wake of Charlie Kirk's killing last week, this is what he had to say.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. In between the finger pointing, there was grieving. On Friday, the White House flew the flags at half staff, which got some criticism. But on a human level, you can see how hard the president is taking this.
My condolences on the loss of your friend Charlie Kirk. May I ask, sir, personally, how are you holding up over the last day and a half, sir?
I think very good. And by the way, right there, you see all the trucks. They just started construction of the new ballroom for the White House, which is something they've been trying to get, as you know, for about 150 years. And it's going to be a beauty.
Yes. Okay. He's at the fourth stage of grief, construction. Demolition. Construction. This is not how an adult grieves the murder of someone he called a friend. This is how a four-year-old mourns a goldfish.
So that says one of the things that Jimmy Kimmel had to say after his show. He talked about that the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it. And he has indefinitely been taken off air for his troubles. Scott Lucas is a professor and political analyst from the Clinton Institute in UCD. Scott, what's going on here?
Well, let's cut to the chase. There is a hypocrisy around free speech in the way that it's been politicized. And although we could talk about that across the political spectrum, the way the Trump people do it is, on the one hand, they'll shout free speech if they want to remove any restrictions on what they say, no matter how disruptive, no matter how inflammatory it might be. So, for example, one of Donald Trump's former allies, Elon Musk, telling a far-right rally in London over the weekend, fight or die. That's just one example. On the other hand, once it's a question of those who might criticize the president or who might come out with statements and facts, including Charlie Kirk's views, including Charlie Kirk's opinions, then those people must be threatened, must be punished, must be sacked. And days ago, before this ever started, the Trump administration said that they were going to go after academics, they were going to go after lawyers, they were going to go after the media, they were going to go after anyone they felt was an enemy within. Because I want to be honest with you, Kieran, this is not just an isolated incident. One reason why you break the media, and the Trump administration has successfully tried to break the media this year, is to expand your power. Some people might call it the vestiges of a wannabe authoritarian.
Harry Brown is with us as well, Scott, the senior lecturer at the School of Media in the Technological University of Dublin, TUD. Harry, I mean, there's some who are just characterizing this as Donald Trump's kind of war with liberal talk show hosts. Is it more than that?
Well, I think that to a certain extent, for Trump, that is what it is. Trump is kind of a showbiz guy. He's a TV guy. And he, you know, his main conclusion on the social media post he sent out today is now for Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers. You know, he's just, it's that. But as Scott suggests, it's much more than that. And the really important context for what's happened in the last couple of days, firstly, you know, the thing that Jimmy Kimmel said was on Monday before we had a full body of information about the alleged shooter in Utah. And it was perfectly reasonable thing that he said that this was somebody who was drawn from, if you like, MAGA culture, the person who'd been arrested. But the important context is that the Trump's head of the Federal Communications Commission, which is to say the media regulator, said, you know, that Kimmel was part of an organized plan to mislead and lie to the American people. And he therefore had to go, and it would be either the easy way or the hard way. Now, so when a government regulator is saying that to a to an industry and to a set of companies that are actually under its auspices, and indeed one of the companies that acted to chop Kimmel was looking to get a merger approved by the regulator, then you have the state essentially directly interfering to suppress speech. So it's not just a question of, oh, he's very offensive and his boss is going to fire him. It's a question of a government regulator leaning. It's just like if the head of the media commission said that Kieran Cuddihy, he's got to go. Easy way or hard way, what's it going to be in news talk?
if Trump then is not the strategist in all of this, he's just the guy who's the TV guy's got, as Harry says, the showbiz guy. He doesn't like these late night talk show hosts, doesn't like the tone of the shows, doesn't like the way they slag him off, probably hates South Park and what have you. He'd get rid of them next. Who's the person who sees Trump as maybe his useful idiot, or who are the people and they're the people who are trying to break the media?
The Trump administration is organized in Trump 2.0 where it wasn't in Trump 1.0. And so around Trump, going back to what's called Project 2025 last year, there was this blueprint to make the media bow down, may organizations bow down. And you could look at an advisor like Stephen Miller, best known for being anti-immigration, xenophobic, some would say bigoted. But Miller believes there's an enemy within the left that has to be broken. In terms of public office, look no farther than J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, who very much wants to be president in 2029, is pitching his whole persona on the idea that America has been infiltrated by the so-called radical left. And by radical left, that's a label that could apply to people who are far from being radical. It's just someone who they believe should be pushed out because they are a different ethnicity, because they're a different religion, or because they dare to express their freedom of speech. And the tag phrase for this, if you want to get this, is it started on the day after Charlie Kirk's murder, when Donald Trump, who doesn't like late-night talk show host, but he doesn't like mainstream media if they challenge him at all, and he doesn't like civil rights groups, said, we have to go after the radical left with any means that we have at our disposal. And it just so happens that a political appointee who is supposed to be independent in regulating communications is one of the instruments he uses in this case.
Harry, what vision are these people working towards?
Well, I think that's an authoritarian one at the very least. And in effect, the media, both new media, social media, through Elon Musk, through Zuckerberg, and now through the takeover of TikTok, but also the traditional broadcast media through these attacks on CBS, on NBC. And it's really important to say CBS News, before the Charlie Kirk murder, CBS News was effectively taken over by a right-wing billionaire and a Trump supporter, and installing a kind of a pro-Israel editorial control over CBS News. And so the agenda is control of the media. The Palestinian issue has been the kind of leading edge of this as well. So we've had an attack on free speech that actually precedes Trump, but has certainly stepped up considerably under Trump, and in particular using the immigration system for the first few months of the Trump administration to crack down on advocates for Palestinian liberation. So Mahmoud Khalil, the Columbia student who was arrested at his home, missed his American child's birth in New York because he was being held in detention in Louisiana. He's just been ordered. His detention has just been ordered again by another immigration judge in the States, essentially for being involved in protests on behalf of Palestine.
Scott, then if we're broadly following what was laid out in Project 2025, we should know what comes next.
Yeah.
What
comes next? It is the attempt to, within the government, break the agencies where they're run by loyalists. In a conjunction of events yesterday, there were two hearings. There was one for the FBI head, Kash Patel. And the headlines over that were over his claim to not know anything about the Epstein files. But also, Kash Patel had a hit list of enemies that he compiled last year. Guess who the FBI has gone after under Kash Patel? And then the other hearing was about the Center of Disease Control, where the top staff were fired because they actually said you have to listen to scientific advice on vaccines, et cetera. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a political appointee, dismissed them. So you break the agencies. And then when people highlight that you're breaking the agencies, you go after them on social media, witness what Elon Musk might do. And then if they are in positions of employment where they think they can speak out, then you go after them there. I'll say this blatantly to you, Kieran. If I was working at a U.S. university right now, I would no longer be working at a U.S. university right now because of what I say, what I'm free to say here in Ireland, but what now has become unacceptable speech under the Trump years.
Chilling stuff, Scott. Thanks a million. Thank you for joining us. Scott Lucas, professor and political analyst at the Clinton Institute in UCD, and Harry Brown. Harry, thank you as well. A senior lecturer at the School of Media in the Technological University of Dublin.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.